This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, March 7th, 2014. I'm Caleb Brown. The financial and educational relationships between universities in the United States and China may at first glance be an open exchange of students and ideas. Unfortunately, the long history and present state of repression in China may bleed over into education in this country. Thomas Cushman is a professor of sociology at Wellesley College. We spoke following an event on the subject last week. What is the relationship between universities in the United States and China, or more specifically, the Chinese government?
Well, I don't think there's any one particular relationship. I think there's an emerging relationship, set of different relationships over the last 10 years in which various organizations, educational institutions have forged out exchanges, partnerships, and arrangements with Chinese institutions of higher education. There are many different kinds of these, all the way from the most intense kind of interaction with prominent universities establishing campuses in China affiliated with Chinese institutes of higher education, all the way to very small-scale exchanges of students and faculty to work on specific kinds of projects. There is no one kind of relationship. There are several different kinds of relationships. But what interests me is, or what I'm interested in looking at, is the nature of these relationships and how they condition the kinds of knowledge that we're able to produce, either in China or either in the United States, especially the United States. I'm interested in whether or not these new partnerships are going to affect the kind of things we can talk about in relation to China in the United States in our own institutions.
Have you seen specific examples of that?
Well, I've seen specific examples of it. I mean, there's the potential for certain things not to get talked about and for certain kinds of knowledge not to be shared. And I've seen some actual cases where it was very clear that because of our relationship with China, certain topics would not be talked about, or certain people would not be certain kinds of exchanges with China would not be able to proceed because of the topics that were involved being too controversial politically for the Chinese.
Now, we've seen broadly an opening up of China over several decades. Is it fair to say that the United States, these institutions of higher learning, can have can apply pressure in some sense?
Well, I think that's what I'd like to see them do more of, because in my initial explorations of these arrangements between American and Chinese institutions, I've seen quite a lot of rhetoric about academic freedom and about openness and discussion. But it's an empirical question about whether that rhetoric will be matched by outcomes in terms of what we actually do talk about. So, in principle, yes, these exchanges meant most of them expressed some commitment to academic freedom, but I think that's really a question on which we need data to see if there are actually situations where we can and can't talk about things. And so the idea is, I think the rationalization for these by administrators and other people who want them to happen is that our institutions will help liberalize China. Not economically, because they're doing that already, but in the realm of human rights and other basic individual rights, which is what concerns me. That's the question: whether or not our interactions will actually liberalize the Chinese environment, which is intensifying its repression against freedom of thought right now. And so, but that's not discussed in most of these arrangements.
In the United States, there has been some polling done on how safe it is to hold unpopular opinions on college campuses, and that number seems to decline the longer somebody's in college. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Oh, you mean that the more education you have, the more unwilling you are to express unpopular opinions?
But specifically on campus.
On our campuses.
In the U.S. campuses.
You mean without any relation to the Chinese situation?
No.
Yeah, I think that this is actually a separate issue, but I do really think that the situation of freedom of speech on American campuses is in a pretty dire situation right now. And I don't want to overstate it, but on the other hand, you know, there are very clear trends, it seems to me, on American college campuses, which make it more difficult to talk about contentious issues or to talk about ideologically diverse issues. And I think that's a trend that I'm overall concerned about, and I'm not sure that the Chinese exchanges are going to help matters in that regard, at least with regard to topics on China. So they're separate issues, but they're somewhat related. That, you know, sometimes I wonder if I'm overstating the case, but this is how I feel after 25 years as a professor, that the situation of free speech on campus is one in which most people are afraid to say anything provocative or contentious because they're afraid of offending somebody, and that there are specific groups on campuses which use offense or being offended as a weapon to quiet people when people say things they don't like. And those are usually the active minority of students. Or let me rephrase that. I mean, they're usually the vocal groups of students representing different kinds of interests. So it's really a shame in a lot of ways that the campus environment is so chilled now, because without that kind of dialectical, paradoxical, contentious approach, I don't think we can move knowledge ahead on the most important issues, because people are just simply afraid to speak and afraid to say anything.
Where are the really tough issues with respect to China? Obviously, the history of Mao's China is something that is rarely discussed in terms that are rooted in what we now know about those years.
Right.
But is that the main thing?
Well, you know, I'm not I just very clear that I'm not an expert on China, Chinese matters. I am I've trained as an expert on communist-type systems and Leninist regimes. So I know something about the political organization of the country, especially as it relates to cultural freedom. So not being a China specialist, what I'm really concerned about on our campuses is making sure that our students, when we have interactions with our Chinese colleagues on our campuses, are able to talk about the contentious issues like the famine that occurred in the late 50s, like the excesses of Mao Zedong, like the situation in Tibet, or the actual history of Tiananmen Square, or relations with Taiwan. All of those subjects are somewhat off limits. Professors, Chinese scholars, and American scholars who work on China in the United States or American institutions, they cover those topics. But what I worry about is that if we have events and meetings and conferences with our Chinese colleagues, there will be a certain circumscribed range of topics that will be off the table. And they won't get there'll be agreed upon topics that are safe, but then the ones that are unsafe, which is where we really find out the truth, will be off limits, and therefore our students will get a rather distorted view of what's going of the Chinese history and society. And that's what I most fear. I fear that Chinese propaganda efforts through exchanges will give our students a distorted understanding of what's going on or what has gone on in China.
Do you think that Chinese students, with all the economic liberalization that has occurred in China over the last 35 years or so, do you have any sense that Chinese students are actually giving a fair bit of pushback against issues or discussions that have been circumscribed?
Oh, no, actually. No, that's part of the problem, I think.
It's that they know very well what they can ask about?
Well, it's hard to know what they know, but it's clear that they know there are lots of issues you can't talk about. And it's clear that they know that, you know, when the new president of China starts off his rule with a declaration that there are seven topics that are forbidden to talk about in Chinese classrooms, like individual rights, constitutionalism, democracy, rule of law, civil society, the history of the Communist Party. When he leads off his new regime saying that, then of course every student and everybody, in fact, not only students but faculty, have a sense that these things aren't to be talked about. And they can talk about them at very, very low levels and in small settings, but any kind of movement to talk about those in a more collective level outside very small situations like a classroom or something would be just extremely circumscribed and punished rather harshly. So, the real problem, and I've seen it in my own students from China that teach at Wellesley, is that they're wonderful students and they're very smart, but when topics go to politics of any kind, not just about Chinese politics, they don't have a vocabulary for talking about them, and they also have a certain abiding fear that talking about politics is just a bad idea because it can never really your words can always be used against you in a country where there's constant surveillance on speech and expression.
You're referring to China?
Yeah. I don't want to go too far with the equivalence thing. I'm not saying our campuses are like China, obviously. I think it's more our restrictions on the lack of freedom of speech that happens in American campuses is more related to cultural dynamics, I think, that are a result of two decades now of multiculturalism, where certain groups present certain kind of claims about their history and certain ideas about their experience, which are all very important to our history, but that anybody who would challenge those claims or kind of have an alternative vision of what those claims are would immediately be branded as being a racist or a bigot or a right winger or whatever the vocabulary is. And so I think that it's very important that we have diversity in American universities. I think demographic diversity, but I think the problem with that movement is that it's created a situation where no one feels safe being critical of the claims of other groups for fear of being labeled in a negative way, when in fact they just might have something to say about the issues. About race or ethnicity or gender or gay rights or whatever it is, they might have something that they'd like to say. And if it isn't in line completely with whatever the orthodoxies are in those fields, then they could be in for a spot of trouble. And so they just don't say anything at all. So, obviously in China you have a communist party that runs educational institutions, then you have the state behind that with force. So it's a much different situation there. Most of our censorship is self-censorship here. And, that's in some ways the worst kind because you do it to yourself.
Thomas Cushman is a professor of sociology at Wellesley College. You can watch Cato's event on the subject of Chinese government influence in American universities at our website, cato.org.